I'm kind of upset because I can't find my dum dum.
All right, explain to them what we're about to do while I separate all these pieces of paper.
So we are doing a drawing for the 50 states that we reached, and now we get to pick a winner. So who is entered?
Huh?
So who is entered? Everybody in our Facebook, our Instagram, or?
Everyone who is on our Facebook page is in this packet. It's like pretty full. And they're going to win one of the Crimes We're Into wine glasses. Is that what we agreed on? Was it a wine glass or coffee mug?
The coffee mug.
Coffee mug. Okay. So they will receive a... Whoop.
Because one of the new Patreons got the wine glass.
Yes. The first 5 Patreons after I did that post is getting the wine glass sent to them. Locks what that is. Okay. Alrighty. So the winner is... Kind of mix it all up and grab from the bottom. And so you can see I'm not cheating, camera.
I see. So
making sure it's just one. Oh, no, it's 2.
And I did see that you did not look what any of them are. And now you're unfolding it. And it is Tiffany Welch is the winner. Tiffany Welch. Hey, isn't she the one who donated money? No.
No.
That would be Maria.
That is Maria.
I caught myself.
Yeah. All right. After jumping, I'm like about to fall asleep.
Yeah, I was literally tired on the way home, and then I'm like, no. So what do you think if we do this and make it a Patreon where if they're wanting to see our faces, our reaction, and full...
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Bloopers.
We can't, even though I look hideous and my quality of my camera
really a crimester to want to see us.
Sucks. Yeah.
So maybe we should make this a thing if it works out to them see our reaction and we'll just kind of get better quality as we make our way through.
We're getting there. You know, first we got to master the sound.
I know a lot has asked for us to do YouTube, and I don't exactly feel comfortable with YouTube yet.
Patreon will be our first go-to.
Yeah.
Baby steps, baby steps.
We'll see how that goes.
Baby steps. So you ready to just, like, hop into this story?
Let's hop in because I did find my dum-dum, and I can't wait for you to hear about it.
Okay, so normally I tell you about a guy or girl or a person that's already dead.
The reactions that they're waiting for and wanting to see, because you just start laughing and they're like, I don't get it. So tell me more.
So I'm going to tell you about a person that, like, wouldn't die. For a while.
Like, has 9 lives?
He's got more lives than 9 lives, I feel like.
Okay, well, I'm sure he's very thankful.
Like,
Thanksgiving, or whichever Thanksgiving he was close to being near during all this.
Like, he had a 4-leaf clover in his pocket at all times. Just saying. But we're going to talk about Michael Malloy.
Yes, Malloy.
Malloy. I want to say Mallory.
But it's not as Malloy.
It's Malloy. But Michael was born in 1873. He was an unemployed Irishman that was just basically like a drunk homeless guy.
The luck of the Irish is why.
Yeah. So he lived in New York City, and what I envision, and because I envision this, you're going to say you never see this show, but I envision an Irish Frank Gallagher from Shameless. Have you ever watched Shameless?
I figured. I haven't heard of it, but I don't. And by the way, why I look so distracted is I'm trying to find the story to kind of keep up with me. But I'm not okay. Just so I can correct you.
So yeah. When I stumble, you're like, no, Leslie, this is what you meant to say.
Yeah. Oh, and it was the first one I pulled up.
Ooh. So every morning, Michael would walk into a speakeasy. He would rack up a tab and he wouldn't pay, but he would pass out on the floor.
Sounds like you.
A few years ago. Okay, don't judge. Just kidding. But Michael would later earn the name Iron Mike and Mike the Durable. So picture it.
If you pass out, how are you durable? You didn't just keep going and going and going. Oh, wait, that's Energizer.
Just wait. You'll learn how they refer to him as durable. But picture it. It is July 1932. And there's three dudes hanging out in the speakeasy. Their names are Francis, who is 24 years old, and he's an undertaker. There's Daniel, who is 29 years old. He's a grocer. And Tony was 27, and he was the owner of the speakeasy. So he was telling all his friends that he's losing the bar. He needs some money. He needs to figure out, like, basically some way to save this place. And I read an article, and the article was a whole lot more recent than when this happened. But they basically said this speakeasy was like a hole in the wall, like the tables was boxes. So I don't really know how, like,
1800, right?
Yeah.
1903.
So I don't really know how run down this place was, but I don't think it was like too popping. But I can tell you one way to save this bar is don't let old Frank Gallagher drink and pass out. So Francis told Tony that he had an idea. He's like, let's take an insurance policy on Michael, get him so drunk that he'll drink himself to death, then we can collect the insurance money.
Wait, no, it's not easy peasy, right? You can't just take out an insurance on life insurance on anybody, right?
Well, you can't. But if you like scheme up this plan and make all these lies, you can.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by State Bags. State Bags make beautiful, well-made products such as book bags, duffels, luggage, lunchboxes, and more. For every State Bag purchase, State hand delivers a backpack packed with essential tools for an American child in need. But their commitment goes beyond a simple material donation. State Bag has your back. As a part of that commitment, it is making a difference in local children's life. To get ready for your commute or wherever you're traveling next, State is offering our listeners 15% off a purchase at statebags.com. Use the code POD for 15% off your next purchase. That's POD pod at statebags.com. State Bags, they have your back. Well, this wasn't Tony's first rodeo of this. The year before, he became friends with a homeless lady named Mabel.
Oh, Mabel.
I know. I was like, oh, that's the old person's name.
Why are you half gone? Do you have the paper? Like,
oh, right? I do. My bad. Brace got my stand. So I was doing it so I could kind of like look and... Kind of like a look, but
be like
pick me. I see you.
One more crime and just you know, put the paper. And I say today's, that.
Today's story is about this guy.
And I joke because we joke with them about it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. We love them. They love us.
So, anyways, he friended this homeless lady named Mabel. He had her take out a $2,000 life insurance policy with Tony being the beneficiary. On a freezing cold night, he forced her to drink alcohol, stripped off her clothes, poured cold water on her sheets and mattress, then moved her bed underneath an open window, and she died. Yeah. Because he wanted that Monday. After her death.
On her?
Yeah. This is his first time doing this. This is why he was like, oh.
Okay, so this was like a test he got.
Yeah. Like, this was a year before he did it on another person.
Okay, so he just met Mabel, took a life insurance out on her, and she agreed to it because she was
homeless. And had, I guess, like, he was like, oh, I'll let you live with me, but I gotta get that money.
Yeah, okay. I was, for some reason, I thought she was a homeless life insurance agency, and I'm like,
no, she was homeless. He wanted that life insurance. So after her death was ruled pneumonia, Tony was able to collect the $2,000.
That's so, a lot.
Well, back in the day, it would have been.
Well, yeah, I get that in the 1800s, but.
Well, this is the 1900s. 1800s is when he was born. So this is like 1900s. Anyways. Where was that at? Okay, so all three guys were like on board with this plan. They're like, all right, we're going to do it. We just need to decide how, you know, like, we're going to pretend.
To be Michael and go up and get the life insurance policy.
Yeah, I heard something. I thought somebody was about to walk in. Sorry. So, yeah, basically, they got to figure out how to get this policy, like, in place. So, one day, Francis and this guy that he paid went to an insurance company, and they said, hey, we want to open a policy for Nicholas Malloy. So they went to the insurance company, and a complete made up, you know, just complete random guy's name, and said, hey, I want to open a policy, and I want to leave everything to Francis, my BFF.
BFF forever.
That I completely adore. I mean, I'm pretty sure he didn't be like, oh, I just love him so dearly.
I just feel like that's fishy. I would never be like, I want to leave everything to my BFF, like, because I completely adore them. No, I'm like, here, my husband is my beneficiary. Make sure he doesn't kill me. I'm just kidding. But for real, I don't think he's going to kill me.
See?
But what I'm saying is, I'm not
going to.
I'm not going to just throw in there because I adore my husband.
No, well, that's like me and Anthony, like, joking around because he's always like, I got an insurance policy on you. I'm like, no, you don't. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, how much is it? Is it worth killing me over? He's like, well, I could pay off the truck. I'm like, yeah, you're not killing me. So we're good.
Ask for monthly statements.
Can I see how much that policy is on me? Okay, we're good. We're good.
Okay, anyways.
Back to our story. So it took 5 months for them to get 3 different insurance policies. So, can you hear them?
I hear music.
Dear Jesus.
I can't hear it anymore.
Okay. So, if everything went correctly with these 3 insurance policies, they would split. I cannot say.
They would split.
They would spit the split. They would split $3,500, which is roughly $6,500 in 2020. And
on here you put that, which is roughly $65,000.
What did I say? $6,500?
Yeah. $6,500. I don't even know, but you didn't say it right. I think it's 6,500, and I'm like, no, it's
65,000. What's the difference? Just a few zeros, but what's the difference?
Still not enough to kill somebody.
Still not enough. And that's what I have in my notes that you see.
I know.
Not enough. Like, not enough. I would need some more zeros. So, but the idea was basically, once Michael died, everyone would identify him as Nicholas, and then they could collect the money. So, Francis recruited, Francis.
You want me to finish reading it?
Huh?
You want me to finish reading it?
Do you want to read?
I mean, I can.
Okay.
If you're that tired, are we just going to swap it up in the middle?
We can swap it up.
I would rather just finish it out rather than to restart it over.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So Francis recruited Joseph Murphy, a bartender at Speakeasy, to identify Michael after he was deceased. Now, a few of Tony's regulars had joined in, including John McNally and Edward Ten Ear Smith, who had a fake ear that was made of wax. That's not tin, that's wax.
He had the nickname Ten Ear.
And Tough Tony.
I'm Tough Tony.
All right, so in December of 1932, they all met up to come up with their plan. They first decided to give him endless shots that would have to kill him, right? Well, the next morning, Michael comes in, sits down, and Tony tells him that he can have as many shots as he would like. After hours of drinking, Tony's
arm was getting tired for pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring.
So for the next 3 days, they give him endless shots, thinking he had to have a limit before he dies. But Michael drank for hours each day, only stopping to eat a sardine sandwich. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
The sardine sandwich.
It's like,
I'm sure the shots would, I don't know what the shots would have been, but I'm not a shots kind of a girl, so.
It touts about, I think it's like gin and something else.
Well, we're about to find out.
We'll find out.
Tony and the others were at a loss. Yeah, losing your money. Maybe they were hoping he would get choked on his own vomit and fall and hit his head. Gosh, they're cruel. Just quit giving people free shots for hours and hours. Problem solved. But on the fourth day, Michael stumbled into the bar and said, "Boy, ain't I got a thirst." At this point, everyone was getting frustrated because he isn't dying like they wanted him to. Tough Tony wanted to shoot him in the head. Okay.
Let's just knock it out. Knock him out.
If the alcohol shots ain't working, let me get my shotgun shot and see if that works. So they decided they needed to change up the plans during this time. A lot of people were dying from tainted alcohol.
Tainted alcohol, yeah.
So they were going to play it off that and switch out his whiskey and gin for wood alcohol, which is basically antifreeze. I'm pretty sure if somebody drinks that much, they're going to notice. I think by the smell, they would notice.
You would think. So, Tamara, you want to hear a little fun fact? I mean, literally, in my notes, it says, Tamara.
A little fun fact.
If you drink a drink that has, like, 4% antifreeze, just 4%, no more, no less, just 4% of antifreeze, it can make a person go blind. So, if you're, like, legit switching out a full shot glass, that should do some damage to a person, right?
You would think.
Okay, keep reading.
All right. So, they went to a local paint shop and bought several pints of wood alcohol. At first, they started off with regular shots. And I guess once he was getting drunk and couldn't taste the difference, they switched out his drinks for pure wood alcohol. Well, at least they didn't try to start off. I guess that was a little smart, but still wrong.
He's like, oh, this is definitely a little funny. Something's different.
Your Sprite that you drinking right now is making you sound a little funny.
It's just my bedtime.
It's 7 o'clock. All right. Anyways, he downed several shots and kept asking for more. So night after night, they kept feeding him these drinks. They even tried turpentine, followed by horse, lemon, and rat poison.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. So
the horse thing is like supposedly something that, like, I don't know, like, has something to do with arthritis. Like, if for like a horse or a person, I don't know. Like, I was trying to read it and I couldn't figure it out. But it was something, like, something weird.
I completely forgot.
But yeah, they tried turpentine, which I know what that is, but I don't know what it is to tell you what that is. And then the horse stuff, and then rat poison.
Oh,
he was drinking it.
One night, they were giving him nothing but the wood alcohol, and he fell over to the ground without warning to the floor. The group all went silent and started staring. Francis felt his neck for a pulse. His breath was slow and laboring. Finally, they heard a death rattle. But then Malloy began to snore. Jokes on y'all, guys.
Y'all, you're like, yes!
An alcohol tolerance, because if he's drinking all these poisons and was like, keep a bringing, and then they're like, he did, and he's like...
That is somebody you do not want to take to a bar and say rounds on me with.
No, not even with poison. He woke up hours later, rubbed his eyes, and said, give me some of the regular old stuff.
Me lad.
Me lad. Me lad. Give me some of that regular old stuff. Don't be giving me that poison, lad. Just some of the regular old stuff.
Just the good stuff. Knock me out.
The plot to kill Michael was becoming a lot more costly than expected. Yeah, you would have just saved your money if you would have just not tried to kill him and quit giving him free alcohol. The open bar tab, the cans of wood alcohol, and the monthly insurance premiums all added up. Tony was scared that his speakeasy was going to go bankrupt. The group then gave Michael raw oyster soaked in wood alcohol. This idea came from Francis, who claimed that he saw a man die after eating raw oysters with whiskey. People eat raw oysters all the time.
Well, this was back in the day. Like, they didn't know.
Well, I'm just saying. This one's not going to kill him. I'm just going to guess on that one. So, after he finished his plate, he licked his fingers and burped. You wanna crap in your burp?
Burp.
That's not what you sent a letter for. At this point, killing Michael was just as much about pride as it was for the payoff. So this is just a sick game to them.
Yeah.
They also fed him spoiled sardine sandwiches mixed with poison, carpet tacks, and sharp metals.
Oh. Yummy. Like, doesn't that just so yummy?
Then that's what I'm going to feed you.
No, thank you.
You just said yum, yum. They were hoping that the tacks and poison would tear through his organs and kill him. But after Michael ate the sandwich, he asked if they had any more. How does this stuff even taste good? Did he like burn off all his taste buds? Like, I don't understand.
I guess if you're homeless, tacks and old sardines and metal shavings is pretty tasty.
They might have grounded them up really good. The group called an emergency meeting since it was unlikely that anything that Michael ingested was going to kill him. So Tony recalled his success with Mabel, and they decided to freeze him to death. Let me guess. He's done used to the cold. extremely cold night after Michael passed out, he was carried to the park, dumped in the snow, and had 5 gallons of water poured on his bare chest and head. He probably woke up and said, "Ooh, for the soul." Tony went back to the bar the next morning to find Michael asleep, half frozen. When Michael woke up later, he complained of a wee chill. I told you. Oh, we had a last night. We had a gush of cold, and then it kind of warmed up. So at the end of January, John McNally had an idea. He wanted to run Michael over with a car. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a little bit harder to cover up the murder.
They're desperate now. They're desperate.
Yeah, apparently.
They're like, all these insurance premiums each month is adding up real quick.
Plus his bar tab.
Plus that tab.
Harry Green was the cab driver who was going to hit Michael. His cut from the insurance money was $150.
I mean, he asked for much.
You murder somebody, okay? And we'll give you a cut that you'll never see because you're getting arrested of $150. Michael managed to leap out of the way not once, but twice. So on the third...
Don't you, this mug don't die.
Well, he didn't know how to move. So on the third attempt, Henry drove toward Michael at 50 miles per hour. Wait, didn't they have like horse and buggies? When was the first car invented? You look that up and see which one was going 50 miles an hour, a horse or a car. Was it horsepower or car power? The group heard two thuds. One loud, then the body hit the hood. I guess it couldn't be a horse if it hit a hood. And then one softer one when he dropped to the ground. For good measures, Henry backed up the cab over him. The group knew for sure Michael was dead, and they all went home.
1885 was the first, like, car. But it was this.
At 50 miles an hour? Man, there's probably Flintstone in it. I was like, so they didn't even check on him to see if he was dead. They were like, he don't. We going home. We not getting busted.
We done heard the thump, the bump.
Twice and then backed it up.
Yeah.
It was now Joseph's turn. He was supposed to be Nicholas's brother, and he had to call all the morgues and the hospitals to locate his missing sibling. But no one had any information, nor were they any reports of an accident in the newspaper. 5 days later, as Francis was plotting to kill another drunk, any drunk he could pass off as Nicholas, the doors to Speakeasy swung open. And guess who it was?
I mean, it could have been Michael.
Oh, it was Michael. Michael. Michael, looking slightly worse than usual, saying, "I sure am dying for a drink." Joke's on him. They trying to kill him and die him. So he's dying for a drink, but he ain't dying from the drinks. All Michael recalled of that night was that taste of whiskey, the cold air, then blackness. He don't remember the bump. He was just blacked out. The next thing he knew, he woke up at Fordham Hospital, and he only wanted to go back to the bar. He was like, "I feel like I got hit by a bus. I need a drink."
It was just a cab.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
He felt like he got hit by a bus. He didn't know he got hit by a cab. He just knew he was wanting a drink. He was dying for a drink. Why does my phone just like keep jumping out of my lap? Like, I'm not even doing anything, and it's already like went across the living room twice. My dumb dumb, and I guess I'm the dumb dumb for letting it jump across.
I guess.
All right. So on February 21st, 1933, 7 months after they came up with a murder plot, Michael Malloy finally died. And guess what? It wasn't because of the guys. I'm just kidding. I don't know. But
keep reading. It gets a little.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying at this point, it's not because of the guys. Less than a mile away from the speakeasy. After he passed out, they put a rubber hose in his mouth. I think this is where you need to pick back up. They put a rubber hose in his mouth. On the other side of the hose was a gas light fixture and a towel wrapping tightly around his face. Oh, yeah. My God. These are horrible people. Dr. Frank Menzella, a friend of Francis, filed a phony death certificate stating that he died of pneumonia. The gang received only $800 from Metro Life Insurance Company. Joseph and Tony each spent their share on a new suit.
I wanted to look fresh, okay?
Okay. Oh, this is the end. I was trying to, like, phone. Francis arrived at the insurance company office to collect his money from the other two policies, but the agents surprised him when they asked, when can I see the body? Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Dun, dun, dun. Anyways, Francis replied that he was already buried. An investigation happened after police heard the rumors of what happened to Michael at the speakeasy.
Because you know the town had to be talking. It's like, this guy is not dead. Like, you know that everybody.
Yeah. They had the body examined and forensics exam.
The body exhumed. Like they took the body out the ground.
Okay. Well, you put exam.
No.
On the second
The second one is exhumed. Yeah. Then exam.
Exhumed and then I was wondering why you put exam twice. I completely skipped it. Anyways, the five men were put on trial and convicted. Dr. Menzella was held as an accessory after the fact with his $10,000 bail. Henry went to prison while the other four members were sentenced to death and executed in the electric chair at Sing Sing in New York. Three were executed on June 7, 1934, and the last one was on July 5, 1934. Are you ready for the dum-dum that I've been waiting for since 2 months ago?
It better be good. It better be real good.
So, it doesn't say where this guy is from. But it
probably
said,
Florida. They're all from Florida.
No, I think it's Philadelphia. It says Fox 29 in Philly. So, I think he's a Philly.
We got Philly in the house.
All right. Man was arrested after trying to fight his family because someone ate his garlic bread. I'm not saying he was right or wrong. I'm just saying I understand. So, needless to say, don't steal my roll. Like,
garlic bread.
Yeah. He was arrested because he tried to fight his family for someone who ate his garlic bread. Ate his garlic bread. So.